Okay, Kuf Yud Tes. So it's enough talk about Bnei Noach. Now the Maral wants to talk about Yidden. The Maral is going to talk about Jews. So we're talking about Bnei Noach, the seven mitzvahs that are designed to accommodate the spiritual. Is that me? I never did that to my surprise. To accommodate the whatever spiritual potential that a Ben Noach has, which is primarily as a shmira, as we saw last week, we were talking about barichas, to create boundaries to maintain the tava, that tava which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him. However, a Jew is different. Okay, Kuf Yud Tes. Omnim Yisrael Am Hashem. Asher Baruch Abaham. Nisyachadu al Hashem Yisbarach Yoyisev Yoyisev. Yisrael is different. Jews are different. Nisyachadu al Hashem. Mashiach Lahem Nefesh Miyuchedes Elokis B'Yoyisev. That every Jew has a Nefesh Miyuchedes. There's a different presence of godliness inside of a Jew. And this Yachadu Oid B'Mitzvahs Leisaseh Shehem Shasa Kfiya Shehem Yuchadim. So you would think that if a Jew was such an exalted being, if a Jew has such a Nefesh Elokis, such a Neshama, so you would say, how you would say, so he doesn't need to have so many negative commandments. Why does he need to have so many Leisaseh? He doesn't need to have so many negative commandments. If the whole thing, you never Leisaseh, remember that the Maral made the point that we were learning last week, that really all the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, all the seven mitzvahs of the non-Jews are really, really negative. They really, because the purpose is to hold back, to maintain, to allow the teva to function in a healthy way, and to prevent the interference of unnatural things in this world. But you would think that a Jew, since a Jew has this nefesh miyuchedes elokis, he has this special, this unique godly soul, so you would think it would be less necessary to have so many loisesse, so many negative things, so many negative commandments. He's so holy. Someone else says, no, just the opposite. Is nisyachdu oid b'mitzvus loisesse shem shasak fiyah shehem yuchadim nisyachdu yoyisesh loyetsum and haseda haroi. Simply put, the seder of a Jew is infinitely more complicated, and therefore there are an infinite more possibilities of something going wrong with the system. Like, you know, there's the Gemara, Narech Leil Adam Shalai Nivim Mishanevra, right? A lot of people say that Gemara over Tov Leish. It's not true. It doesn't say in the Gemara it's better not to be created. And then you have people making all kinds of pilpulim, but it doesn't say Tov, it's better not to be created. It's Narech Leil. We understand that. It would have been easier not to be created. It would have been more comfortable not to be created. So the Masha says, Apostle Cheshman, that we learned earlier in Tiferes Yisrael, we mentioned it, the Masha makes Apostle Cheshman that there are more lois essays than there are says. There's more of a likelihood of batching up than doing well. There's more of a likelihood of messing something up than in this world. The very fact that a Jew Dafka has a nefesh elokis miyuchedes, has a unique godly soul, means that the system is so much more complex. And because of the complexities, and because every single detail, we know this, kol ha-gadol mi-chaveir yitzhar gadol ha-menu, the greater the person, the greater the yitzhar. The greater the possibility of something going wrong. Usually there, a person generally has more difficulties with an expensive car than with a tricycle. Right, a bicycle. You understand that the bicycle, it's fairly simple, and basically it functions in a certain way. But the car, because of its complexity, because of the complexity and how it's absolutely necessary that all the numerous parts work with one another in a properly synchronized and healthy way, that there's more of a likelihood that something can go wrong. That's what it means. Kfiya shehem yuchadim, because they're miyuchadim, because the Jewish people are miyuchadim, are unique, Therefore, Nisyachdu Yosef Shlo Yetzim and Haseda Haroi. He explains in footnote 35. Kidavka Hamarumam Yosef. He says, Davka, the one who is greater, who is more exalted, Zokuk Lishmira Yosef, he needs more of a Shmira. It's the same way when it comes to children. It's the same when it comes to tzaddikim. The greater the kaychus, the greater the shmira. It's very, very hard to raise an unusual, a unique child. I suppose that's why Chana in the Gemara in the fifth parak in Brachas, she asked that she should have, he should be an ish ben anoshim. She didn't want to have such an unusual child. Let me just, you know, like an average, not too short, not too tall, not a genius, a regular kid. Because it's generally much lower maintenance than a complicated kid, although the potential of the complicated kid, of course, is much greater. But the agmas nefesh that one has to go through is much more. Kidavka amrum yaiser zokuk l'shmir yaiser. The greater, the more of a shmir is needed. Ki olu lehefsid yaiser. Because there is more of a possibility of failure in the system, of falling. The Maral wrote in the Hakdama, which we didn't learn, in accordance to the greatness, one has to be more careful about the failure. The nefesh is very delicate. We see this in the body also. Like the heel of the foot could take a beating. You know, your elbows can take a beating. But God forbid, not the eye, and not chalila, a little tiny piece of the brain. A little piece of the brain has such a hashpot, such an edelkeit, it's so delicate, and it's so complex that it needs much more of a shmir. And therefore, he says, hanefesh bekolus makabel kilku. The soul can very easily be makabel kilku, can very easily be hurt, can be damaged. Kechoshuv en yochel lizbo shum kilku. The more choshev something is, right, the more choshev, the greater something is, the more of a distortion takes place when there's something that's not working 100%. When there's something that's not working 100%. You know, so you understand that, you know, a person, if a regular guy plays ball and it's not his shooting, he's playing basketball, his shooting is a little bit off, isn't it? But if you have somebody who's a perfectionist, and everything is so beautifully timed, and it's not on, so the kilkul is much greater. Udavar mu'at mafsida, and therefore the smallest thing can bring a hefsid. The smallest thing can cause a hefsid. Udavizer ramzu chacham b'mokam achar, ki achoshu hu koidim l'kabel hefsid. And this we understand. The davka, the moments of our greatest chashivas, are the moments of our greatest hefsid. Right? By Kabbalah Sator, by Maimon Har Sinai. Ani amarati Elohim atem, uvnei elyon kulchem. We reached the highest level where it says in Pasuk that we were greater than Malachim. Ani amarati Elohim atem, uvnei elyon kulchem. We reached the highest madregas by Har Sinai. And Davka over there, at that moment of that ultimate greatness, there was the horrible nefila of the Cheta Egel, of the sin of the golden calf, which is only the reemergence, the reappearance of what took place. Achen ke Adam to Musa, like Adam Arishan, who was as close to perfection as could be, the Davke, that kilkel. You know, all of us are thinking, like, so you think, okay, he made a mistake. Can't we work this out? Like when you read Parshas Bereishis, can't we work this out? So you tell him, explain to him that it wasn't right, and let's go right it. But the whole tumult that we're still dealing with ad hayom, because we don't understand what it means. We don't understand. It's like a person would be standing, you know, he's in the Oval Office and he has access to that button that would set off a hydrogen bomb, you know, over China or something. So instead, he says he meant to call his mother. Instead, he thought it was automatic dialing, and he pressed right next to it. He pressed the wrong button. And he just blew up like a billion people in China. So he said, you understand that on a regular telephone, if you make a little bit of a mistake, it's not such a big kilkul. But to make a mistake like that, where it's so precise, the kilkul is gefährlich. So davka our greatest moments. That's why the tzaddikim, we find those dates that were predicted when Mashiach would come, that already we find from the Kadmonim, and even the Rambam, who spoke so strongly against that Mishnah Torah in his letters. He also participated in different levels of predicting times for Geula. Psadi Goyen, Malbim, and others, Abarbanel. In those days were always big, those times, they were never small times. But we found that there were tzaddikim, that many tzaddikim, that agreed upon the year, the secular year 1948, and that came out from that instead such a kilkul that came out the Medina, which is against the Torah. That came out. I'm not talking about politics now. I'm talking about what could have been. I'm not. There's not a format for finding out about my hashkafas. I'm be letting you know what they are. That's not my point. But what could have been, we all agree. Whether you're more of a Zionist or less of a Zionist, we all would prefer. We all would prefer David Malcolm Mashiach over David Ben-Gurion. David Ben-Gurion, yeah? I think we all must. No? But that's what happened. The kilkul was gefährlich. It wasn't, so then he said, it could have come out to be like almost Mashiach. It didn't. It came out to be v'nahapichu that only now we're starting to see the results. V'nahapichu. V'sham b'perek lamet tes kosov asher ein kol kach sholim habriya So he explains that we see this in all of creation. Dugma l'davim, he says, for instance, look, Isser yayin nesach shenesa b'negiyosa shel goy, that the wine that yayin nesach, the wine is made also is made forbidden by the touch of a goy. Ubiya hadavim bedrush al hamitzus b'zeh haloshen. Why is yayin so sensitive to tumah, to the touch of a non-Jew? Why is the yayin so sensitive? Stamral explains, because yayin is not like other drinks. All other drinks are only to satiate, to satisfy, and to sustain the body. But yayin is different wine. Yayin is soid. Yain is the secret. Yain yisamach levav enoish. Yain is for kiddush. It's for havdolos. For chasnas. Right? Ki yain enu kameshar mashkin shem leguf bulvad. Avla yain mefakech haseichel. The wine has the ability, when it's taken in the proper dosage, wine has the ability to open one's thinking, to open one's senses, one's mind. Or neishu ruchni bilti gashmi. Stamral says, and it's because of the sublime nature of the wine that it's not like all other drinks, but it actually has a relationship to one's emotions and to one's intellect. Wine has a relationship to one's intellect and to one's emotions. And it's because of that that it's bilti gashmi, meaning that it's more spiritual and less physical. Therefore, takeif b'negiyas ha'akum hayayin nesa. Therefore, it's sensitive to the touch of something where there's a touch of tumah. So the greater and the more complex and the more spiritual something is, then when something physical is introduced into the life of that spiritual entity, the more of a shock it is to the system. Uba'akum davak b'kayach shalai hu avarizara. Even though the goy does not have the intention to use this wine for his religious ceremonies, the wine seeks out and finds any spiritual qualities in the person who touches it. It's a pachad, meaning that even though the goy right now is not bichlal thinking of being in church, he's not bichlal thinking of any avodah zara, but since the wine is something which relates to the emotional, intellectual, and spiritual level of a person, therefore the wine detects in the guy that part of him that is what? That part of him that is devoted to idolatry. That's not the Kedusha. Other gods. Because the yayin is muchen el elokus b'yoyser. Wine is prepared and is designed for godliness. It's connected to that. We see that from Kol HaTorah Kulo. Harei shadav kemachmas shahayayin hu mashke ruchni, because the wine is a mashke ruchni, it's a spiritual type of a drink. Lakach, therefore, kol kolosu mitsuyi b'negiyas akam, it could be distorted and it could be contaminated by the touch of a goy. Whereas bread and oil are not ruchniim kiyayin, they do not have this quality of to the, such a degree as yayin, which is soid. Lekach ein he miskalkalim ben negiyas ha'aklim, therefore they are not defiled by the touch of a goy. And bechlal, in the whole inyan of tum and tahara, the fact that the body of a Jew, the dead body of a Jew, the level of tumah, right? So it's a gemara in Hamakabel. But that Eliyahu Navi met Eliyahu Navi in the Beis HaKvaris, in the cemetery. We have Eliyahu Navi is a kash, is a kohen, right? It's Pinchas, Eliyahu is Pinchas, that's the gemara. So what's he doing in a Beis HaKvaris? So okay, in the right, so that it's not metame. So you would think that a Jew shouldn't be metame. How come a Jewish corpse is metame? Why? And the tumah is such an, it's avi avis atumah, because of the spiritual greatness and complexity of a Jew, and what it means when he has a ruach chaim, when he has a nishmas chaim, a living soul, and what that neshama means. In its absence, it's gefelach. The tumah is gefelach. In the absence of that neshama, that connection between the guf and the neshama, masha eni came by a goy. Dugmanay sefes. He says, "Dvar b'nesiva emes l'gabes sreifas kodshim v'zel shana kodesh anitmahu b'sreifa." Okay, so if the kodshim became tamei, the din is it has to have sreifa, it has to be burned. V'chulin shenitmu enem b'sreifa. V'chulin became tamei, there's no din of sreifa by chulin shenitmu enem b'sreifa. Okay, so you can't use it for that, but it could be eaten by somebody else. It doesn't need sreifa. So the Maral explains, because when something was already kodesh, it was already for a carbon, it was kodesh, and then what? This tuma is makukul yosef v'yosef. The kilkul is unbelievable. Because kedusha is a world of perfection, and when that which has the potential of perfection, when there's a kilkul. So the kilkul is much more serious. And so on. And he brings from the Ramban, which we spoke about in the past, but sorry for the kindness, Imras Ramban Hayidua, in his famous letter, the Ramban wrote back to his son, I believe, he wrote back in that letter, if you want me to describe what I see here in Yerushalayim, what I see in Eretz Yisrael, so the Ramban wrote back that Davke, that place, Kol HaMakudosh Mechaveru, the holier the place, Charev Yoyse Mechaveru, the bigger the Chorban, the bigger the Chorban, because the more Shmira, it needs so much Shmira, the holier something is, the more Shmira it requires. And that's why I'm going to tell you something, Agav, Derech Agav, but I'm just saying this Derech Agav, but it's not, it's kedai on this to think about a little bit. Somebody was, one of the women from the shul was very upset, and I was prepared, she's upset every year, Simchas Torah, because the Chazan Machlitzan is a little bit like it's the Minig Yisrael, it's brought down its Roma Kedoshim to make a little, by Musaf, to make a little Litzan. Not like we used to do, to tie up the guy and take to the street, to put a hose in the pants, you know. But it wasn't by the Rishonim such a thing, but the Kadmon. But still, this late sons. If you look in some of the Machzorim, it says. In the Satmar Machzor, it doesn't say Kan, but it says, Haminig Lisloitzis Ksas, that says, a little bit. Okay, so when you had the Satmar over there, so they couldn't get too carried away. But the problem is when you don't have a person like that there. So this every year I get a certain mishaber from a very, very fine and serious woman. I'm just saying that in case she ever listens to this. So a very fine and serious woman that gets mamish meshuga over the, you know, but really it's like the whole Yiddishkeit has fallen to pieces for her. Because why? Because the guy, you know, was singing a little bit to the Star Spangled Banner, you know, in Musaf or something. Or Frank Sinatra, and they can, something that Shmuel used to do that, and they used to have a Baal Tefillah, and that's just so. And look, so it's a whole problem. So, what's Taka Danyan? So what's taka the inyan? And I'm only going to say b'remiza, because such a thing it's not good to talk too much about. But b'remiza, you know, the Gemara says leis ksuba, there is no ksuba, there isn't such a thing as a ksuba without a tigra, without problems. By the chasana, by the ksuba, which means not just the ksuba, it means there's something when it comes to a chasana and kala, there's so many things to shter, a shidduch, a zivig, and then shalom bayis, right? Which normally you could be the most easygoing person in the world, but in this inyan, all of a sudden the guy that's like a Chavetz Chaim becomes Chalila, like, you know, Hamana Rasha. And you have people to the whole world, to the whole world, they're the nicest guys, the best people. And then, you know, and I think this is Gevaldik, and then the wife comes to talk to me about this and that, and I call him in, is it true? He says, well, it's not true, one time I didn't do that. You know, it's like, but otherwise it is true. And you can't believe it, you know, what happened? Because a husband and wife is the yichud shlem mamish. It's the yichud of a husband and wife when there's love and when it's real and it's on, and the way it's supposed to be in a house. It's me'ein me'ein. It's the closest you can get to the yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. I don't have to tell you that. We know about that. We believe in that. It's the closest you can get. And when it says zoch shechinah b'neihem, it's not just that thing for to talk about Shem Baruch. It means mamish. Shechinah b'neihem. It's a very big thing. So you understand that when there's something on that level that's going to happen of a yichud mamish, then the koiches of tumah gather in that place to prevent it from happening. It's not b'derech hateva. It's not b'derech hateva. Therefore, at chasna is also there's litzamas, and he used to have mar. Even so, you still go to chasna and have a badchen right, a comedian, a marshal. What are you standing there? The holiest minute in this guy's life, and he's making litzamas. I mean, that's what they do. Making late sons. And by, there were certain things by Rav Moshe Lev Sasse, by Big Tzaddikim, that it was under the chuppah mamish, making cracks and things, all kinds of things. And the bigger the chasana, the more chasher, the bigger the late sons. Because the Swami Kedoshim talk about this, the davke, because of the chashivas, the unbelievable chashivas of what's happening this second, where there's a yichid, where there's joining together these two worlds of the chasana kala. And there's going to be Mitzvah, new Yiddish and Neshamas coming out. At that moment, the Kitrug from the other side of Tumah, the potential Tumah, in other words, we're so close to something so amazing and perfect. That's exactly what we're learning. At that moment, there is an unbelievable vulnerability to the Koiches of Tumah that it should stare. And even in the marriage also, things that normally are okay, but they stare. Therefore, the Nivlet Sonis, those who understand what Shmini Atzeres is, some of you might learn the Svarma Kedoshim, so then you know that the whole year, all of the Avoid of an entire year, is only to come to Shmini Atzeres. It's only to come to Simchas Torah, which is the Yichud Eshlim, which is the Yichud Mamash. It's the absolute Yichud, the highest level of unification, is Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. So Davke then, which is the Chasna, Mamish, more than the chasna, it's the yichud. It's heviyani hamelech hadarav. It's the intimate, the most intimate relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. Davke then, daf machen litzanis. Why do you make litzanis? Davke before kesef, before musaf, to make litzanis. As litzanis, so when there's litzanis, it's nishin zay chashiv. It's not so chashiv. Like when the Avnei Nezer, you know, the Avnei Nezer knew how to learn, right? That's what they say. And we see the result. That Nezer was a Gain Olam. So when his father was also a Yid HaGain, the Biala Rav. When his father, Ibn Nochem, came to the Kotzker, so you know that the Avni Nezer was a son-in-law by the Kotzker. So the Biala Rav, the Avni Nezer's father, wanted the Shep Nachas. You know, so the Avni Nezer was saying something and learning with the Kotzker. So the father, it's natural, the father has nachas. So the father said to the Biala Rav, the father said to the Kotzker, No, Rabbi, what do you think about my tachshu? So the Kotzker says, this is a Talmud Chacham, I'm not so. And he said unto the shyness of Bittl, which we know that it can't possibly be, an Avinez is such Bittl, to say an Avinez, you know. So the father was very upset. And he told his son, Avnezer, that the Rebbe said, Avnezer says, Chaz de Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Because Avnezer understood, and he explained, he spoke to his father about it, that because the father was having such nachas, because of the chshivas, that the Koska saw that there could be a terrible kitchen. There could be something to shter. There could be something, because the greater the thing, the greater the kilkel. And therefore the greater the shmir there has to be. The shmir has to be so great. So Yushalayim, so the Ramban writes back a letter and he says, the more Makudish the place, that's what he says. Yushalayim, Yoyseh Harevim and Hakol. Yushalayim is a bigger churban than anywhere else. Veretz Yehuda, Yoyseh and Hagol. In the order of the different levels of Kedusha. So therefore, Yehuda is a greater churban, is a bigger churban than the Gola, right? Even now, if somebody wants to go driving around, it's compared to driving around in the area of Yehuda and Shomron. If you want to drive around in the area of Tveria and Tzfas, and Hashem should watch all of our brothers and sisters, but if you want to drive around, no. But to drive around in Yehuda and Shomron, it's not so posh. And even Yerushalayim, And look at the Pera Adam is Mamish and the Harabai. That's the biggest kilkel in the world. How could it be that by the Evan Shesia that the Muslim is made by the Evan Shesia such a thing? Because the greater the perfection, the greater the shleimus, the greater the kilkel, the greater the potential hefsin. So klal we call it Torah kulam. So that's what the Maral is explaining. Let's go back upstairs. So right after 35. So Maral is saying, so you're wondering, why is it that Yisrael needs so many protective barriers? Because every leisah, say every negative commandment, is a protective measure, protective barrier. So he's trying to understand why is that. Hein hin advar. Says kafi Hashem yuchadim nesiachlu yoishus al yetsim anaseid haroi. They have this very, very unique and complicated seder. Va'od nesiachlu b'mitzvah sasei shehem ramach mitzvahs, and therefore. And therefore, there are unique and special, as we learned all the way back in the first parak, that since the Jewish people are b'nei neviim, we have a koach of nevuah, a prophecy, and a ruach hakodesh. Therefore, in order to facilitate the proper and healthy development of these koaches hanefesh, we need more positive commandments to draw out the more potential. The more there's contained within, obviously, the more is necessary to bring it out. Right? The greater the expert. It's not so hard to properly train somebody who's an average student. The Alta from Slobodka, all those geniuses came, the Iluyim came to Slobodka. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Hutner, they ended up in Slobodka. The Alta from Slobodka was a genius of how to take these extraordinarily gifted people and to make sure that they would go in the right way. When Rabbi Aaron Cutler came to Slobodka, before he was with the altar, they say that he was wasn't 100% Mishkan Ganson. It wasn't properly controlled. And the greatness of a great teacher is that there is the ability to draw out from that great person his potential. And if it's not a great master teacher, so then God forbid, that person can end up with the biggest kilkulim. And you see this, that generally the children of tzaddikim are not mediocre people. Generally the children of tzaddikim, you see, they're either very great and they go in the way of their parents and grandparents, or God forbid, they can go in the other way. But to be just tam, regular Joes, you don't see so much by big neshamas. It doesn't usually happen. It's either big like this or like that. And it requires a shmir. And every Jew is like that. Ki ha-nefesh shehi aimedes beguf noita atzma elateva. The Maral explains that the soul which is contained within the body noita atzma elateva noita napshay. It's in the first section, the first printing. Elateva vihi be'emez nefesh elokis milamala. Even though the soul of a Jew is something which is godly from above, nevertheless, when it's in the body, when it's contained in the body in this world, it is drawn towards this world as well. He says, "Vehi be'emes nefesh elokis milamala rakshi aimedes beguf." It's contained in the body. Sarach la haitziyasa min hateva. Because it's in this haitziya mimaz genavshi, since it's contained or it's being contained in the physical body. And Hashem made it in such a way that as a result of that and this strange partnership, that the physical body, that when the neshama is in the physical, the neshama is in the physical body, that it's drawn towards this world, and it's contained, and it's this world means that the physical world is the home turf for the body. The neshama's place is not here. Therefore, the Maharal says, we need additional means of drawing out the neshama. A goy doesn't need that, because a goy's spiritual potential is very much aligned with his physical life. Just that it should be more refined. And in order for it to be more refined, we have the seven mitzvahs to keep things the way they're supposed to be. But a Jew is not, it's not a question of maintaining a healthy physical life. Really, it's not true at all. By a Jew, we have to draw out something unusual and extraordinary. So you understand that by a Ben Noach, the whole point of the seven mitzvahs of Ben Noach are to maintain a healthy relationship with a healthy life in this world, to hold back anything that's unhealthy. But with a Jew that has a nefesh elokis as a neshama, the point is, how do we draw out that neshama? How do we draw out the neshama? And then later on, in the Sifrei Kabbalah and the Sifrei Hasidus, the Svar Makadoshim, and particularly the Piazetzna, the Eish Kodesh, in his Svar Makadoshim, what do we do to draw out the neshama of a Yid? It's the whole avoid of a Jew is, how do you draw out his neshama? How do you bring out the neshama of a Jew? But you see, there's even though the physical body has a home court advantage, Lamaisa, it's true, it's difficult here in this world. In 1956, there was a letter that the Lubavitcher wrote to somebody. There was a certain scientist. You know, the Lubavitcher was a big maven in science also. So there was a scientist, a chashev, a Jewish scientist, that wrote to the Rebbe. The Rebbe apparently had given him some advice and encouragement to become more involved with Yiddishkeit, with more mitzvahs. And the scientist wrote back that he feels that he is very small and incapable of changing his life in such a way, the way the Rebbe suggested. So the Rebbe wrote back a letter to him, and he said, in those days in the 50s, when that's just when nuclear energy was... So the Rebbe wrote back, I don't understand him, Mr. You're a scientist. From what I heard, the Rebbe says, what I've been hearing is that they're discovering that tiny, tiny little particles... Now we see that they send in the mail, a little envelope could cause all kinds of sorrows, right? Tiny little particles, when they're harnessed in a certain way, right? Molecules, the Rebbe wrote, and atoms, molecules, that the koyach that they have is unbelievable. Unbelievable. That nothing can stand before it. And the Rebbe said, and you're a person that studies these things, and you should understand that the fact that your physical life seems to be so much more important than your spiritual life, and spiritually you feel so small. But you have to know that the neshama of a Jew is no different than those powerful, unbelievable molecular particles that you've been studying about, that you see now. I was thinking about this letter a lot lately, you know, but you see, how is it possible in Tumah? What could you learn from it? That how many of them there were altogether? 19, there were 19, approximately 19 of the Arabs that were hijacking the planes. And look what a balagan. And now this whole thing with the anthrax, the whole House of Representatives had to take off, and the whole country is turned over, and the whole world really has been by what? By a couple of box cutters. A couple of Arab with box cutters. That you see that in Tumah there is such a thing, that even the smallest, but when it's completely determined, it could mamish cause a mahapecha, a total revolution. When it comes to Dvarim Shebekdusha, when it comes to something in Kedusha, that a person has these koyches, that even though we're in the physical world, and the nefesh is contained in the physical world and in the body, we're able to become attached to Hashem. And that you see that. You see, you can have a Jew that was so far, and you can see, here's a niggun. One thing could blow away the whole, you know, 50 years of Tumah. One pnimius dikavart. One real moment of Yiddishkeit. That's the meaning of the Neis Chanukah. It's already, you know, by the tzaddikim, there were tzaddikim that after Simchas Torah, by Motzei Yontif, they used to take the Chanukah menorah out. Because there was a Chalishus Hadas, you know. So they would take out the Chanukah menorah. But you see that the Indian Chanukah, Rav Kook has in his Mamar, Mamar de Gevart, on this whole Indian. But you see that the Indian of the victory of Eichus of Akamas, right? Of concentrated Koiches over masses and numbers, right? That's what it is. That it was possible for that little bit of Shemin to be Koivish, to conquer another day and another day. That little bit, but what was it? What was the Tanai? Has to be, it was munach b'chayis m'shukarin gadol. It was pure. When something is pure, it could be koivish the whole world. It could be koivish the whole world. When something is diluted, and it's a lower grade kedusha. I'm just using all the lashons that are here that they're using for tumah, right? So they were afraid that in the senator's office, they said it was very, very potent, very potent. So I think the whole country they're going to evacuate. We're all going to have to go to Mexico or someplace. Because they found in one guy, you know, they found in his office this stuff, and it's the whole country is already evacuating. And there's somebody that told me, there's a guy that I know that he gives shiurim. He gives shiurim in the Emunah Bitochen, and he bought gas masks for his whole family, and, you know, this whole tumult. Not that I'm making fun, it's a serious matter. I'm not making chayzik of something that's so serious. Nevertheless, Alachas kama v'kama, b'nid ha-toyva k'fulu m'chupalas, how much more so? How is it? Why is it that everybody believes that a little bit of ra can cause such a churban, but I don't think people don't believe that a little bit of toiv can make such a difference in your life. Like, everybody believes that a little bit of ra, because really, if you think about it, I think only one person died so far. I mean, that's sad, but one person died. Chayra, I mean, the roads are much more dangerous than... Probably more people die from many more different complications, but this alarm that it causes in the world, where does it come from, such a pacha? It comes from a belief that a little bit of ra, that's concentrated ra, can destroy the world, and it's beyond my control. And a person feels it. He's behind the wheel. He has control. But the little bit of ra that's beyond my control can destroy the world. But a little bit of toiv, nobody believes that a little bit, that if I say today, another kapitel tehillim, if I try to have kavana in one more sentence of my davening, if I try today to be a little bit more patient with the children, if I try today to give a little bit more, another few pennies in tzedakah, that could you imagine? It's mamish atom bombs. But people only believe in destructive atomic energy. People don't believe. You see, that's why there's a whole, never really caught on, you know. But in a constructive way, what a Yiddish and a Sham is, v'zo ayideh ha-mitzvahs. And what draws out from a Jew, what draws out from a Yid, what draws out from a Jew, this unbelievable atomic potential, this unbelievable karech, what draws out from a Jew? Mitzvahs. And it's very complicated. A Jew is very complicated, and therefore... If that atomic energy of a Yiddish and the Sham is not used properly, it can make more damage than Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It could cause unbelievable tumma. Look what Karl Marx brought to the world. Look what Joschka brought to the world. No? And the tumma of Sigmund Freud in the world too, which is a different type of tumma. There's different levels of determinism. So Marx was caught up in economic determinism. There's no bechira. You're just part of some great economic movement in the world. That was Karl Marx. There's no bechira. And what's Freud? Freud is there's a different kind of determinism. You're taivis. What are you going to do? You're taivis. So all of this comes from what? From Jews. In other words, in modern times, that way of thinking that tells a person that sof kol sof, it's not up to you. You don't have bechira. All of that mahalach came from Jews. And the tumah that was built upon Yashka, not that he himself had such a mahalach, that's something else, but the tumah that they made from Yashka, the tumah that they made from Isai Ish was also determinism. There's no bechira. There's no bechira. There's only, you could be saved. You're a miserable insect, and you could be saved through the good graces of his Lord and God and so on. But there's no bechira. Remus is no bechira. So the biggest tumah is davka through can be chalila, if that atomic energy of a Jew is not drawn out through mitzvahs. The mitzvahs that we have, all 613 mitzvahs, and then the rabbanim, and all the minhagim, and why the minhag is like this in Morocco, the minhag is like that, and the minhag is different in Syria, and the minhag is different by the Jews of Yemen, and by the Jews of Poland, and Hungary, and Germany, and Lithuania, and so on. Every single thing, it's all completely and perfectly. It's all designed to draw out from the Jew the Adam of who he could be. And when a Jew observes that mitzvah, which is a seder sechli, which is a transcendent godly seder, it's not something of teva of this world. Then by doing that, as we learned last Zman, that by doing that the person has a dveikus, becomes attached to the sichli, to that seder which is beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our understanding. It's pressing all the right buttons, as we spoke about last year. And then he's no longer bound by his nature, by the nature of this world. He becomes an ibermensch. He becomes above this world, becomes something different. And he's able to achieve a state of attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though, as we discussed at great length last year, even though he doesn't feel that happening, he doesn't know that it's happening. And he might not feel this dveikus. That's the mitzis, that's the reality of what's happening. Vizer Sha'amar. And now that's the pshat, he says, U'ma'ich v'slach HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben sheichem min ha'tzaver, u'ben sheichem min ha'ayrif. But the Gemara, with the Medrash, asks, What does Hashem care whether you slaughter the animal from the neck, or you slaughter it from its or from the throat? Ben oichel taharis, what does God care if you eat something which is tahar? Ben oichel tmeis, so you eat something that's tamei. So that's what it says in the Medrash. Ma'ich b'slakadosh baruch hu, right? What does He care? Elo what? What's the kadosh baruch hu lezakas is Yisrael, as we spent a lot of time on. So what does that mean? It's not because there is something in the shechita that is necessary, that is inherently toiv for the world's existence. If Hashem permits you to have an animal that you've killed, as long as you do it in a humane way, what's the difference if you do it like this, you do it like that, from the neck or from the throat? Ella loy nitna tarak letzarif abriyas, the Medrash says. Hashem gave us all these mitzvahs to be mitzarif, the briyas, to refine and to purify. But you remember the moral disagree with the Rambam. Let's go back to the beginning of the parak. The Rambam says that all the details in the halachas are not significant. I mean, they're significant that we observe them. The Rambam wrote Mishnah Torah. But in terms of you know, Olamis and everything else, the Pratim is just what? So that a Jew should be obedient. And in that obedience, by being obedient and by listening to Hashem, we achieve that higher level. But the Moral said it can't be. The Moral said that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the mitzvahs for Jews, it means that every single detail of that mitzvah, every tiny little detail, every shach and taz, every mogen of Rome and Mishnah Berurah, every single detail is part of that amazing seder. Ma'ech b'slo kadosh baruch hu, meaning, so what does Hashem care? It means enechanami, mitzad u'bayin shalom, and mitzad u'velt, but as far as bringing out the neshama, bringing out the soul of the Jew, v'dov ezehu tziru v'ziku chanefesh, fakirat. He says, is there a cup that I have maybe or something? Just the fastest. So he says that every single mitzvah can bring to its tziruf and a zikuch, it brings to its tziruf and a zikuch and nefesh, to a purification and a refinement. Thanks. Kasha dovek besichli. Because by you doing that mitzvah, even if you don't know what's going on, but by you doing that and following the halacha, by you doing that mitzvah, so it happens. It mamish happens. I remember when I was a kid, I always wanted to get, they had these chemistry sets. Gilbert, I think, I don't remember. These chemistry sets, there was one, two, three. So I wanted to get like a choshev chemistry set, and I was bothering my mother for long enough. So she got me this chemistry set, and it has instructions. And I remember I was in my basement, not far from here. I was in the basement, I'm looking at the instructions, and it was giving a whole recipe of like, to do this, do this, do that. And it said, but if you do this, the effect of this can cause the test tube to explode. So I thought to myself, nah. Doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like you could do that. You know, and I thought about it. And, you know, so I mixed in the other ingredient. And it was over, they give a little burn of the. Oh yeah, we had to call the fire department. I made mamash a strafe in the basement. And mamash made a strafe that I remembered so clearly. I was maybe in third grade or fourth grade. I made a strafe. Thank God nobody was hurt, and it was, they came very quickly, and it was in one room. I was machriv, and it was all from that. Yeah, the little, you know, it's like, and you know, because it said in the instructions, like the whole thing had warning, and it said like, you are now at this stage and this and that, and I was mamish a kaifer, like I didn't believe it, but you see that there's a certain mahalach. Allah has kama v'kama when it comes to rochnias. So when a Jew has an attitude like, okay, so it's muktzah. No. So the only difference is that there you don't see the fire. You don't see the fire. So Shabbos, so nothing happened. You look around. Then there's the vekas. Look at footnote 41. Kikasha ha-nefesh misraim, on the bottom. Kikasha ha-nefesh misraim memes. Kasha nefesh misrei memes mihaguf azai he dveika b'Hashem Yisbarach, because when the nefesh does emerge from the guf, when you're able to shake off the body for a couple of minutes, and the soul and the nefesh comes out, she says shaguf, then there's dveikas. That's mamish, an experience of dveikas. Shari aguf u'mesach hamavdil ben ha'adam levin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the body is that which stands between a person and Hashem. That's the anoichi, that's I made, the anoichi is the ego in the physical life that is blocking the natural flow of elokus, the natural and healthy emergence of godliness from within you is being blocked by the guf. Therefore, to the extent that a person is able to quiet the physical life a little bit, that it should be quiet, to that extent that a person is able to quiet down the body, it's not that he has to create something spiritual in himself. We spoke about this. I once mentioned to you last year that Rav Kook wrote in his introduction to the Siddur, and the Neshama Tamid Mispalelus, that the Neshama is always davening. So what's Kavana? If my Neshama is always davening, the problem is there's a guf, there's a body. So Rav Kook says the holy need of kavana by davening is not to generate within yourself some spirituality. It's simply to be able to be focused so that the body does not interrupt the natural tefillas of the neshama. The soul is continuously attached to Hashem as we speak, right now. Even when a Jew is, God forbid, doing an aveira, Shas Ma'isa, according to the Arizal, the neshama, the deepest level of neshama goes away from you and is not participating in the aveira. Like the Baal Shem Tov Zvart, in the word chait, the aleph is silent, right? Because the aleph is the aluf v'sholom is Hashem. There's a silence. What that means is that lemaise, even as we speak, even if the Jew is in the midst of, God forbid, of sinning, of an aveira, who he really is has not been changed. The essence of his being is untouched. That's that point where the Chiddushim says Morgan Avram. When you daven, you say Baruch Hashem Morgan Avram. You should think that Hashem protects and guards that part of me that's completely pure. That's the Pach Shemen, which is Munach B'Chesem Shulchan Gadol. That's the Morgan Avram. That Hashem protect that part of me that's unchangeable. That should remain pure within me, and so on. So, the only thing that's in the way is the Guf. Therefore, when a person, let's say, when a person goes through Chas V'Shalom, a terrible shock or a tragedy, when all of a sudden physical life is seen as something which is not so important, you see it's not so important. So then the neshama is, then the ruchnis is able to naturally come out. When you're having a good time and your body is enjoying itself and living it up, and the body is making a lot of loud noise in your life, right? The body is very loud, so then it drowns out the sound of your neshama. Because it interferes. But when physical life begins to fall apart, so then the person naturally can hear the neshama. So the whole Indian of the tzaddikim that they were showing, that the chassidim were showing, that they were waiting, that they were meditating for an hour before davening, and what that means. And the way that the tzaddikim, for instance, I mentioned the Satmar Rav before, you know, the avoid of the Satmar Rav when it came to Nikiyas Aguf was something which is, people didn't see in hundreds of years. The avoid of Nikiyas was, you know, it was something which we can't understand, how careful he was with the Beis HaKisei, with the bathroom and cleanliness and so on. With his cleanliness, that he felt, he was so sensitive, he felt the interference of something physical. And that same Satan Rav, when he was a baby, and somebody, there was a Rav that came to the house, because they used to come to see him, he was like a wonder child. So his father, the Satan Rav's father, Kedushas Yontif, somebody, a Rav once came to visit, he wanted to talk to the little boy Yoilish, to the Satan Rav, and he was a little boy. And the Kedushas Yontif, Satmar Rav's father, said, Yoilish is sleeping. So the Rav was disappointed. He heard he was such a brilliant little boy and beautiful. He wanted to. So the Kedushas Yontif says, come, I'll show you something anyway. So they came to him to the room, and Yoilish, the baby, was sleeping in the crib. And the father, the Sigurd, the Kedushas Yontif, put his hand over the mezuzah. And when he put his hand over the mezuzah, the baby jumped up, Yoilish. He jumped up, he started to scream, Vussis! Vussis! He started to scream when the hand was put over the mezuzah. In his bedroom. So, because there is such a refined Jew that anything that's blocking the natural connection between the neshama and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any obstruction is unbearable. Is unbearable. So what he's saying is that he says back. Let's go back on top there. Yeah. Well, it's at the end of page Kuf Yutes. That the saying, the teachings of Hashem, the mitzvahs, are a protective mogen, a shield, to all who trust in Hashem. Right? I think that we need to remind our people about this, that the mitzvahs. Somebody called me today with a question. What's the question? So she said that there's a very, very important conference that has to do with a chashuva thing to help people, that she's in a certain profession to help Jews. And the conference is in Orlando. So she wanted to know, should she go? So I didn't hop. So I said, like, what am I, a travel agent? I wasn't. So I said, no, do you want to go? She said, yes, it's very important. It's very, from. I can help a lot of people. And it's for my profession, so I said, so, okay, so then go. So she said, so why wouldn't you go? What's the matter? So she said, well, you know, all that's going on. So this whole, this the shyness of weakness that, you know, I was thinking that, like, in Eretz Yisrael, the Gelechta, like, we're such babies. I mean, we're such babies. We don't want the Chalat to have, like, a Hasaga, what it means. Not that we should ever know from any danger, God forbid. And again, I'm not saying this isn't a serious matter, what's happening in our country, but... So I told her, yeah, you know, it's a shliach mitzvah, you're going to do a good thing. You know, you can't fly, you know, you're not allowed to go on an airplane anymore, it's already, you know, it's important, so. I said, listen, don't, I don't want anybody coming after me, like, don't trust me, go talk to, if you're worried, go talk to a tzaddik or something. But he's asking me, I'll be safe, you know, you have something important to do, and it's good for people, so go. So this is, and it says in the pasuk, "Imris aloika tzrufa magen hula kol achayisim bay." That it's magen hula kol achayisim bay, and you know something, and if it doesn't work out, and God forbid something happens to a person, chas v'chalila, what are you gonna do? That, do you think that means that it was because of the political things and the social things that are taking place? Well, that's ridiculous. That's not what a mammon thinks. And I was talking about it last Shabbos. A couple of the guys I was talking about last Shabbos.
But this is what Kain was worried about, a word from the Chassan Sofer. Murdik of word. Simple, but it's a murdik of word. But the Chassan Sofer, Kain was worried, Kol Moitzi Yahargeni, that anywhere I go, they're going to kill me, they're going to kill me. Because he felt, Kain thought, that because he did all these averus, Hashem is not with him anymore. Like, you know, I'm left up to Teva, to nature. You know, I'm a statistic. So therefore, Kol Moitzi Yahargeni. It could be that I'm going to get an envelope with this stuff in it. It could be that the guy's going to take my plane and drive it into the Empire State. But could be. And things nowadays are looking down. So Cain said, "Kol Moitzi Yahargeni." So Vayosim Hashem LeCain Ois, as the Baruch Shalom gave him an ois, and the ois, according to Zohar Kodesh, is what was vav, right? And the vav means connection, the vav achibur. So the Baruch Shalom is saying, "Listen to me. If that happens, you know, if it happens to you that you die someplace." When you're another nut in this world, you're wandering around, you're going places, to Orlando, or to here, to there, if it happens to you, you think it's because of this, that you were caught up in some cycle of terror? That's why it happened to you? So the Baruch Shalom tells Cain, you might thought you'd get killed. Because, you know, now there's death in the world. It could happen. You have to, of course, a person follows halacha and takes proper precautions. And if according to halacha you shouldn't go someplace, you don't go. But if halacha says it's okay, so you go. So, Kol Moitzi Yahargeni, the Baruch Shalom says, no, Vayasam Kain Ois. The Vav Achibur means that I'm connected to you every single second. Every second. Regardless of what you've done wrong in your life, I'm connected to you. And if you die someplace, it's because that's what your neshama needs. That's what you need. And it's not because of an Arab, and it's not because of some Mishigana, something in the mail. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has determined that this is what you have to come to in this world. And there's this wonderful little boy in our shul. I was learning with him a little bit the other day. And then I realized I didn't bring the car to shul, so I had to walk him home. And I just forgot. So I was walking with him, and I asked him, "Tell me, are you afraid of what you hear? You hear a little bit the news." So he says about. So he said, "What about this that happened? That happened?" So I said, "Yeah." "Does it make you afraid?" He's a wonderful boy, little boy. "Said, are you afraid?" He said, "No." I said, "Why not?" So he says, "Because Hashem wants me to die, I'll die. He wants me to live, I live. That's why my Rebbe said." That's all. He doesn't need to go get a gas mask, the kid. That's what it is. V'amru, let's just finish this paragraph. On Kuchav. Lama, Shiehe Magin Alecha. Kloima, Kashi Yetzufa Nafshe, Menhat Teva Chomris. What does it mean, Tzufa? Tzufa means refined. It means purified. So what the Maharal is saying is that what? That when a person's nefesh is tshufa min ha-teva chamus, when it's been refined and it's been distilled from the coarse physical nature, then bazeh, he says, yeshal ha-nefesh ha-adam dveikus al Hashem Yisbarach, then the soul is attached to Hashem, v'gam Hashem Yisbarach im ha-adam, and then the Baruch Shalom is im ha-adam, is with the person. And protects the person. Now we could understand, even in Gashmias, now we could understand that I'm sure you know that by from a Chaim Volozhin there's a Kabbalah that if a person and the Brisker Rav used this, Kama v'kama pamim, and it's famous that when the Brisker Rav was with his son Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik, when they were by the Milchama, and there was a border, they had to go through a border to get to safety, and there were Germans all over the place. And the Briskerov said to his son, to Rabbi Beryl, "Ein oid milvadoi." That's all. There's a Kabbalah from Chaim Volozhiner that if a Jew concentrates on that there is nothing besides Hashem, and is not mesiach das for one second, is not mesiach for one second, ein oid milvadoi, does not take his mind off of that truth that there's nothing, there's only Hashem, and everything else is mamish, part of bechira and delusions and craziness. Ein oid. So he says, then we'll go through. And Rabbi Beryl told him, there was a friend of mine that learned, Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik. He said over the mice, it's been written up in Svarim too, that they walked, they held each other, and they were saying this, and they walked right through and right past to the other side. Mamish walked through. Everybody else is being taken, they're screaming, you know, they walked right through. There's such a Kabbalah. Now, if you and I would try it, wouldn't be so. Because we don't even know what it means to have such concentration. We don't know if and he said a different ma'aseh. There was another ma'aseh. He said, this friend of mine who learned Baruch Soloveitchik said that he I told this once in Shul. He said that when they were bombing Yerushalayim in 48, so the Briskerov had a certain, the Briskerov had a certain couch in his apartment, and his back was very bad, Briskerov, and he was lying down on the couch with a chulis Rebbe Kiva Eger. He was relaxing with Rebbe Kiva Eger a little bit. No, the Briskerov. So he was relaxing there, and he was learning. And the bombs are falling all over. And Rebbe said the family was begging the father, the Briskerov, to go to the miklat, to the shelter, crying and begging him and saying, this halacha, this ram, that ram. He's not going. You know this ma'aser? So you know the ma'aser? Because I heard it from the guy that he heard it from Rebbe. So they didn't know what to do. So Rebbe, they decided that Rebbe is going to go out, and he was going to go out, and he would get to Rebbe Zalman Meltzer. And to get a letter from Rabbi Zalman. Because the only one that the Briskerov had derech eretz for was Rabbi Zalman. So he risked his life. Rabbi was crawling around through Yerushalayim to get to Rabbi Zalman. Rabbi Zalman writes a note, the Briskerov must go immediately to the miklat. And so the Rabbi comes there, and the place is mom's shaking. There's things going on all over. And he comes and he gives the tzettel, he gives the note to Briskerov. Briskerov gives a crux, oh, you went to Rabbi Zalman. What do you do that for? You don't have to do that. But what is he going to do? So the Briskerov gets up, and they're walking to the door. I heard this from someone who heard it from Rabbi Barlow Soloveitchik, that when they got to the door of the room, there was a bomb that went through the ceiling and crashed and did not explode. It went right through the couch into the floor, into the tile. It crashed the whole couch exactly where the Briskerov was lying, not even 30 seconds before. The whole thing was destroyed. And they're standing there looking at that, and Rebbe said, he started to shake, and he said, right? I'm a miracle worker. He said to the Briskerov, Briskerov says, a miracle worker, you owe me a new couch. He said, the whole way down to the McLeod, my father's grumbling, that was my favorite couch. I haven't really come with, because as long as I was there and I was learning and I was concentrating on Rebbe Kiva Eger, wasn't shy. That's how a big person looks at the world. It wasn't Shaya. It's the only couch. Yeah, it's a nice Shaya. This girl. Yeah.
But one thing, you said something in the beginning, but I'm having difficulty understanding it. But how do you tie in Gadol Tzadik, Gadol Yitzchak?
Meaning the greater the Tzadik, the more complex, the more close he is to perfection, and the more Yerushalayim dik he is. Somebody that's on the Madrega of Tel Aviv, no. But when someone's on the Madrega of Yerushalayim,
shouldn't he overcome the Yetzer somewhat?
Of course he does, and he lives the right way. Same thing with the Briskerov. One of the sons of the Brisker, no, it wasn't his son. There was an Adam Godel who was by which Adam Godel was? Yeah, Ramayisha Shmuel Shapir, not Ramayisha Shapir, the Rosh Yishuv Ber Yaakov. He was a very big Talmud of Briskerov. See, he was by the Chazon Ish. And the Briskerov asked him, what do you see by the Chazon Ish? So Rav Moshe Shmuel said, I saw a Jew who, it seems to me, Bechlal doesn't have a Yetzahara. So Briskerov says, He says, Kol HaGol Lecha Adarabba. The greatness of the Chazon Ish is that he has a much bigger Yetzahara than me and you, and he's mamish kaivish it. He mamish is overcoming it. He overcomes it.
It just seems counterintuitive.
No. It's exactly... In tune with what we were doing. The point is, wouldn't you think that Yerushalayim would be so refined that you shouldn't accept a mosque in its midst? Why does Yerushalayim allow such a thing? Well, the teretz is that because of its greatness, because of its perfection, because of its refinement, that davke in that place of perfection or near perfection, there is more of the potential for there to be a failure in the system. Just when something is more complicated, the more possibility that doesn't mean that the Chazon Ish, was thinking about wrong things. God forbid. That's what Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapir. But the Briskerov said, no, you're right. He doesn't think about bad things. He's menatzeach. He's victorious. But it's not because he doesn't have anything to deal with. He doesn't have issues. People think that the Chafetz Chaim was naturally born with such a mouth that never spoke lashon hara. He worked on it.
The Nivol has the biggest chance of being the biggest God.
That's exactly Rav Tzadik. I have it in the car. That's because it's Tzadik. Those are the words of Rav Tzadik. A little bit nicer said, like almost, Rav Aaron, almost. Pretty close. Not only that, the Tzaddik says that that area in your life where you have the biggest taiva and the biggest yetzahara, and you see yourself as being the biggest failure, the Tzaddik says, davka, there you are mukhin, you are prepared to be a godly Yisrael. And people think just the opposite. People think just the opposite. That's why when you see a kid that has nisyonis, so right away people say, all right. So like I said in shul, I was once talking about this, I said, look, I have a few other kids, I'll try to work with them. This one's not going. Right? And no one says that. But you have a parent that becomes depressed. This kid's a difficult kid. They keep on calling me from the yeshiva, come get him, take him this. We can't take him anymore. Otherwise, over there, davke is the most unbelievable godless. We need to talk more about this.
If we want to push it up for another time, I'm just curious. The Rebbe was saying before about that she shouldn't even consider not doing what she was supposed to be doing. How does that affect the rest of our life? I'm not talking about going to movies and going to parties and the club.
The matzav now?
Yeah. Or is there a matzav now? As far as our regular life, which basically...
You know what? So there are some people that they've come to the maskana, you know what, I've had it with America, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. That maskana, even though I don't necessarily believe in how they came to the maskana, I don't like the sugya so much to get in such a way. But if it's going to be... If you, yeah, right, like everything, right. I don't like that. But okay, if that's what it takes to get a Jew to be in Eretz Yisrael, and okay, maskana. But when the same conditions and circumstances are causing the person to act in a way, to be mikitne emuna, to be missing something in emuna, and to act in a way that it affects his life. There are things in halacha. These are inyanim in halacha. What's considered to be safe, what's considered to be unsafe. These are sugyas. Statistics don't show, don't bear out anything that would be halachically defined in these inyanim as being a near and present danger for a person's life. So therefore, I say, conduct your life as you always have. Conduct your life as yours. So what does that mean? So now these companies are not taking any more mail, or they're hiring somebody to look at their mail. No, maybe if someone works in the government business, there's more of a likelihood of some maybe. But for regular people, I don't even understand what people are thinking about. I mean, Hashem Yerachem, I don't know what people are thinking about. They're not about afraid of getting this and that. Like I said, so it could be. So then it means if you, so then maybe you're supposed to die. So you'll die. What are you going to do? I mean, everybody should live in good health for 120. What are you going to do? But
yes,
that's what depends. I'll have it. Is it different in the seatbelt? Yeah, because
the number.
They're already. Rav Ozner wrote in a tshuva, because he wrote a kol kairi that you should buckle up, and it's a sort of an unbelievable amount of accents to kol kairi to buckle up. There already it was defined as a near and present danger that if a person goes in that place, it's like I would never tell you to you know. To walk through Bedford Stuyvesant, in the middle of the night.
We're supposed to wait for a tshuva, to buy gas masks.
We're supposed to wait?
Wait for a tshuva to buy gas masks.
I don't, it's so vite, it's so...
No, I don't disagree with that.
No, but the numbers and the mitzias is so, it's just so far. You have to ask another one, I'm just schmoozing, but, it seems... Like even when the thing was going on in Eretz Yisrael, the Pan Kanevsky was sitting on his porch and learning, Like when everybody was, everyone was ducking and going into the things, he was sitting on Pan Kanevsky watching the whole Bnei Brak and laughing at everybody running. But that already was the Gedolim that said not to be like that, because of the scuds and all these things. If God forbid there's Chas v'Shalom, any wide-scale attack, Chas v'Chalila, biological or otherwise, then there's a different Hanhaga. But the fact that there's, in Washington, there's this thing that now became like, maybe a person says, maybe it's smart, I should have one of these things. It's not to have a gas mask. I don't see it personally that we should change even the smallest on huggies. And something, it obsessed the children a lot. We want them to be safe, but it upsets them. Now my kids go, every day my daughter comes home, I saw an Arab in the car behind the school bus taking pictures of the school, all these things, and I don't know. I think they're hearing too much stuff. It's going to make them nervous. I don't know.
It's silly. There's a question, not so much whether it's silly, whether it's lack of the moon or not. Just because it's silly, that doesn't necessarily mean
no. If
it's more than a seatbelt would be a lack of the moon.
Right. No. Right.
If you're silliness, that's what you think you have to do to protect yourself. So that's not a lack of the word necessarily.
No, you're right. But it's something irrational. You could still be a mom, but it's irrational. And it's not a mitzvah to be irrational either. Okay, go ahead.